Opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gau Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gau Media station.
Merciless and cloudy, third down and 12. Cook, design roll out to the right. He threw it up for grabs, and it's fielded by Clowney, whose ankle tackled by Latavius Murray. Can they punch it in from the four? Lamar Miller, the lone back. Lamar Miller trying to get outside. Touchdown, Houston. Texans in Oakland territory for the fifth time in seven possessions. Brock Osweiler throwing a deep ball, and it is caught. DeAndre Hopkins with the grab inside the five. After the fake, another great throw by Osweiler. Hopkins
on the release by Hopkins. Can't throw the ball much better.
I hope these teams play with a fullback. He's 255 pounds. Play fake to Miller. Griffin trying to run to the corner. Osweiler trying to run to the end zone. Touchdown, Houston. Five-man rush. Cook has time. High throw, and it's intercepted. Corey Moore runs it back. They've drafted well. They've done a great job in free agency. And Cook throws an interception. A.J. Boye with a bow.
You know, I thought overall it's probably our best game, Brian, of the year. You know, I thought that there were times that, you know, weren't great, obviously, but that happens in every NFL game. I thought overall it was our most consistent game. I thought there were examples of complimentary football. I thought we were able to flip the field position at times, which helped us, you know, pin them deep, make them drive it, and give our players a lot of credit. They executed the game plan well.
So it's on to New England, and we got a little championship game tonight. Let's do this. It's a Saltgrass Monday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from the Saltgrass Steakhouse in Pearland. This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE factory approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And the Blitz is on for a Monday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, A.J. Hoffman, the role model, John Lee, the master, back in studio keeping us on air out here at Saltgrass Steakhouse in Pearland. Come and join us. If you want to get in today, 713-780-3776 is the number. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, and you're good to go. There's also Twitter. At Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at A.J. is the real, at Jon Snow with a zero, not an O, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show, 713-780-3776. And it's a Monday. We're out here at Saltgrass in Pearland. Q Dimps scheduled to join us at 6 o'clock. Probably have to ask him about that hamstring of his. As the Texans do what we expect them to do, take care of the Raiders and move on.
Yeah, it's a celebratory Monday. On a Quentin Dimps Monday.
It's a very, very
That's
rare
That's rare for our show.
Yeah.
And only it's rare for our show. And I'm happy it's happening in the playoffs. So we'll get to talk to Quentin and get his thoughts on the game. Obviously, he missed
quite a bit of it, actually.
Most of the game, I would say. But they're going to need him next week.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if you're going to be hurt during a if you play Quentin's position and you're going to be hurt, this was a good week to have it happen.
Yeah. Yeah. Connor Cook wasn't going to hurt you.
Oh, boy. He was not good. But this was not unlike other Texans performances this year. Bill O'Brien, in the beginning, would lead you to believe that it was a complete game, which it was far from. But defensively, they dominated. They got out to a lead early and were able to basically sit on it.
Yeah.
I mean, and they didn't sit on it because they ran effectively.
No.
Because they did not run effectively.
They ran a lot.
They ran a ton, none effectively. But, I mean, every time they got the ball, they ran down some clock. They'd punt the ball away to the Raiders, and the Raiders would, in turn, either turn it over or punt it back. And they basically shut down the offense and made it almost impossible for Brock Osweiler to mess anything up. Once they had 20 points on the board, he was asked to do basically nothing.
Yeah.
Which, listen, I'm not knocking it because that's what they needed to do to win. And that's the name of the game, specifically in the playoffs, is just win and survive in advance. But it still doesn't give me any – it doesn't make me feel very hopeful knowing what's coming up next. And, you know, that Patriots team is just a buzzsaw. And I think in the history of the Texans, they've played the Patriots tough zero times up there, right, including this year, where they were favored to win and lost by 27 points to a third-string quarterback with a broken hand. So it's – Tom Brady's there now. It's hard to be too optimistic about what's going to happen this weekend. But as of now, they did what they were supposed to do, and they did what we thought they would do. They got a win against a Raiders team that really has no identity at this point without Derek Carr.
Yeah, I will. We'll talk a lot about New England, but 16-point dogs is what the Texans open as, and
that's such a huge number, and not a number that I'm willing to give. But are you betting the Texans plus 16?
No,
I mean, I don't think you can. I mean, it would have to be 20 for me to even consider, I think. And
even then, I don't know. I don't know what number you could put on them that would make me want to bet on them. In their last four trips to Foxborough, you want to know what the combined score is?
I think it's their only four trips, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
150-49.
Ooh, well.
So an average of 25 points. And this would be the biggest upset in NFL playoff history. Giants were 14-point dogs to the Patriots
wow.
in the Super Bowl. So, well, yeah, there's
a first time for everything, Fred.
There is, and you know, there are ways I'm sure they could figure out how to win this football game, but it's going to be a tall task. But hey, they got there. They're still playing. You know, this is only the third playoff win in franchise history, so you got to be excited about that. I do think they didn't play a complete game, but they played for the most part a very smart game. And I had no problems with them basically sitting on the ball the entire second half. That
Listen,
was the thing to do.
They did the right thing, and here's what they did. They leaned on their defense, which is what it's the only way they're going to win football games is to lean heavily on your defense.
Yeah.
And in this situation, it worked. And the defense didn't have to do anything crazy because Connor Cook wasn't very good. And honestly, I shouldn't say Connor Cook wasn't very good. Connor Cook wasn't as bad as his final numbers lead you to believe. His receivers did him no favors. I mean, my goodness.
Michael Crabtree. A lot of drops.
Even Amari Cooper dropped a play that at a time when it could have gotten the Raiders back into the game, Amari Cooper drops a ball. And it's almost like I would say the way the Texans fans or the Texans players, and I know none of them will say it out loud, but the way they will probably feel this week going into New England, how it's a pretty long shot for them to win. I think that's how the Raiders felt this week. Like, the Raiders felt like, you know, we made the playoffs, but without Derek Carr, we don't have much of a shot here. And that's how they played.
Yeah, especially, and as I'll give Connor Cook credit. He kept trying in the second half. The Texans sat back a little bit and said, hey, let's wait for this kid to make
right.
a mistake. And it led to a touchdown, but it also led to two picks at the end.
And even worse, and yeah, another one of this, the last one was, again, right off his receiver's hands into the defenses. So, if Connor Cook played his best game, I still don't know if they win just because the Texans' defense is so dominant. But, I mean, you're not going to be able to – it's not going to be the same next week,
obviously.
Because,
Tom Brady's going to make plays
you're playing,
against anybody.
You're playing a fantastic offense, the best quarterback in the history of the game, in their house, and you're playing against a defense that – isn't going to let you run up a bunch of easy points on them. It's just not going to happen. The offense played. They played fine for what they.
Their red zone play was better.
I'll give you that.
Which is important. Now, part of that was
they were getting the ball. They were starting in the red zone.
Yeah, the Clowney pick set up the one, but when they got down there this time, they punched it in for the most part. Which, yeah, you're going to have to against New England. Anytime you get down there, you're going to have to get touchdowns. If you go down there and do what they've done all year and kick field goals, you've got no shot up there. But they're going to have to get Tom Brady to do something he hasn't done all year, which is throw interceptions.
Turn the ball over, yeah. He just does it.
And if you can do that and keep it close and run the football, which I think they can run the ball against these guys,
Well, they've got to be better than they were this week.
Yeah.
And granted, Oakland is a pretty stout run defense.
They are.
You can tell that Oakland, where they've spent their money, is in the trenches, which is a pretty smart strategy. You know,
they're
really
not having to pay David Carr or Derek Carr that much right now, which helps.
Right. But it also means that when you lose a guy like Donald Penn, I mean, that's a big, not only a big chunk of your game planning and of your protection planning, he's also a big chunk of your salary cap, which means you've probably got scrubby guys backing him up. And the offensive line just looked a little bit disheveled without him.
And Jadeveon Clowney just ate them alive.
Yeah. I was actually looking forward to the Penn-Clowney matchup. And that that Raiders left side, left tackle, left guard, center, all Pro Bowlers. And there was going to be some good matchups to be had. But as soon as they said Penn was out, I said, oh, boy, this could get ugly. And sure enough, Jadeveon Clowney just feasted.
And then their center got hurt, and that was that was pretty bad. Yep. You're basically down to two backups in there.
And Merciless had his way as well.
Yeah.
I mean, a great day for the front seven. Good day for the secondary. I mean, everybody on that defense had a day, which they should have. I mean, let's be real. This was a horrible offense, and the Texans did they did what they were supposed to. They made them look horrible.
I would have liked to have seen how close it might have gotten, though, if those guys could have held onto the ball, because there were a couple of third down drops that could have kept drives going, and there were some weird things in that game. Just getting the running into the kicker. And Irvin runs it back, and then the very next play, it bounces off him, and they're lucky to get the football.
Yeah, which, by the way, that's a roughing the kicker.
Yeah.
If a kicker's in the air and you hit
that's
roughing the kicker.
By the rule, the way they explained it, you have to hit the plant leg.
But if he's in the air, there is no plant leg, and it's roughing.
No, but I don't know. I disagree. I think the way that the officials described it on TV was running into the kicker. I mean, he ran into his foot. It was not his plant leg. You know, I don't think that was roughing.
Okay,
but
we'll agree to disagree, but every punter and kicker on Twitter disagrees with you.
Well, that's fine. I expect
because
it
a kicker who's in the air is a defenseless player. Is that not by rule what it is?
No, I don't. I don't think you can blanket that. No, I mean the guy ran into his foot. I mean that to me is not roughing. Roughing is when you hit his plant leg or you intentionally go into him and knock him down. I don't think that was to me. I think it was one of those that might be slightly more than running into the kicker, but it wasn't bad enough for me to be called roughing.
We need a new penalty. You're saying?
I think there's a lot of things we need. We need something that's less black and white.
And by the way,
interference is another one that just drives me nuts.
Yeah, officiating was poor on both sides in this game.
Oh, and in all four games this weekend,
yeah.
I thought the officiating was terrible.
It's really rough. I mean, and these are supposed to be the best guys the NFL has.
And they're making excuses for them. Well, they don't work together. Well, okay, if they're the best you have, that doesn't matter.
Give us the best crews then throughout the season.
Yeah.
Because what they're doing now, it's almost embarrassing. And I don't know that – I mean, luckily the games this week weren't close enough that anything was decided by it.
No.
The Lions game, boy, the Lions have some real beef with a lot of calls in that game. And by the end of it, Seattle made it ugly enough that it looks like it really wouldn't have mattered. But
yeah, but you don't know because it was just like those passes with the Raiders. If they make those catches, it might change everything.
Well, if the Raiders catch those balls, the Texans offense isn't – they're not allowed to do what they did and
right.
just sit on it. They're actually going to have to – Brock Osweiler is going to be forced to try to make some plays. And that's if you're the Raiders defense, that's your hope all along is
right.
Let's put ourselves in a position to make Brock try to make a play and we'll take it. Which, just like you said about Connor Cook at the end, he was in a position where they knew he had to make plays, so the Raiders were able to – or the Texans were able to sit back and take advantage of him. The Raiders never got that chance. But it's neither here nor there. I think the Raiders – weren't in this game mentally. I think the Texans are the better team, specifically without Derek Carr there. I think if both teams are healthy, I'll probably take the Raiders. Both teams, as they showed up yesterday or Saturday, I'm not surprised in the least that this happened.
All right, well, when we come back, I think there's one stat that makes a case that this was the best game of Brock Osweiler's career.
Okay.
And we'll talk about that when we come back. And I don't know about you, but my betting sucked this weekend. But
I didn't do much of it.
I did too much, and that's part of the problem. I got to back off a little bit next week. But I did have some action going, and it's all on my bookie. And the great thing is, if I'd had a good week, I would have gotten paid. because you don't have to wait weeks to collect your cash. That's so frustrating. Thousands of online players are making the switch to MyBookie because if you win, you get paid. It's an industry-leading website, offer real Vegas odds, incredible player props, live in-game action with odds updated in real time, and, of course, fast, no-hassle payouts when you win. MyBookie right now, it's not too late to get in for next week. They'll match 50% of your initial deposit up to $3,000. Just use promo code FRED to activate the offer. Visit MyBookie today or call 844-900-BETS. Open your account and start winning. Expert or rookie, you got to check out MyBookie. That's MyBookie.lv. Sign up today.
Is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow live from the Saltgrass Steakhouse in Pearland. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz just in time after a mouthful of food there because we're at Saltgrass. 25 years of perfection, 61 locations and growing. And for our friends over in Baytown, and I know there's a lot of you, you'll be opening soon, projected at the end of January. And right now through January 22nd, take advantage of Galveston Restaurant Week at Saltgrass Steakhouse down in Galveston. Enjoy a special two-course lunch for $15 or three-course dinner for $30. That's a Galveston location only. Go to saltgrass.com for details. Of course, we are at the one in Pearland. And for their happy hour, they've got Liber & Company as featured on Billion Dollar Buyer.
All right.
Lots of good stuff here at Saltgrass, and the early dinner menu, which is being served right now. So come on out, get a chance to meet Quentin Demps. All right, I've kind of already written my little thing for tomorrow on Houston sports and stuff about here's your one positive. Based on one stat, Brock Osweiler had the best game of his career.
Okay.
Total quarterback rating. The ESPN thing, which also takes into account running, which he ran effectively on third down, ran for a touchdown.
It's so funny watching that guy run.
Oh, it is. We've got food here. But interestingly enough, his total QBR rating was 85.4. I went back and looked at every game he's ever started. His best effort before that was 82.7. You know who that was against? Oakland.
Oh, the first time.
The first game? Yeah. Yeah.
Are you talking about this year or going back to last year?
I went back to last year, too.
Oh, this was his best game he's ever played?
Yeah, his Denver games, he never got out of the 70s.
God.
And, but it's such a big drop-off. It shows you how bad he's played, badly he's played.
Because let's face it, the guy, he didn't hit 200 yards.
No.
He only threw one touchdown.
But
this wasn't like some sort of brilliant performance.
No, but he was efficient. And then they said he ran for the ball well on third downs. So that was his score. And, you know, that's what that takes into account. You know I have issues with that stat, but I think it's better than the straight quarterback rating because
right.
At least it has more data involved. But you know what his highest number other than that was this year, other than the 82 against Oakland? So he's had two games against Oakland where he's gone over 80. His best other than those three games, 71.5 against Jacksonville when he threw for 99 yards.
Oh.
So you can take that with a grain of salt.
Yeah.
Just in case you're curious, though, last time.
How did he do it in New England?
29.1.
Oh, that's not great.
No, that's below average. But this week.
How'd Jacoby Brissett do that day?
I don't have his number, but I know it was better than 29.1.
I bet it would be.
And Brady, by the way, averages over 80.
Yeah.
He's one of three guys who averages over 80. But he, as far as the eight quarterbacks this week. Number one on the list, Big Ben, 91.8. Number two, the Ostrich, 85.4.
He had the second best?
Yes.
They said he was better than Russ?
And Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers was an 83. Russ was an 82.7. And then it's a big drop-off to your losers.
Yeah, the losers played
over. Eli, 53.7. Stafford, 46.6. Moore, 40.3. And also he got decapitated and died on the field. And Connor Cook, 5.5.
Yeah, not great.
Yeah.
Yeah, Steven says, wanted to get your thoughts on the Shazier hit on Moore. I don't think she should be suspended, but some people do. I don't think that's. I don't think he should be suspended. I thought that was. I honestly. I mean, I understand why they threw the flag, and I'm not surprised they threw the flag. But when you go back and watch that, it's pretty clear. Like the side of his helmet is what impacts.
Right.
And the only reason that it's even up around, and they said it hit Matt Moore in the jaw. That's only because Matt Moore like anticipated and started to fall down and like crumble.
That's one thing that I hate about some of these calls. Is when the offensive guy starts lowering his head. And
yeah.
It's too late for you to do anything at that point.
Right. To me, that was a really, really hard hit, but it was a good hit. And if they would have not thrown a flag, I wouldn't have complained about that. I didn't complain too much about them throwing the flag because you kind of knew it was coming.
Yeah.
That violent of a hit on a quarterback. But let's also remember when the quarterback's outside the pocket that far, he's a runner. And there's no, you can't tackle a running back too hard. You know, if that was Jay Ajayi coming around the corner and he got hit like that, no one would have felt sorry for him. There wouldn't have been a flag thrown. That's just football when you get out there outside the pocket, outside of that little safety zone. That's life. Ask Cam Newton, who doesn't get those calls ever. So they better not suspend Shazier. That would be really disappointing.
Yeah,
if they did.
I wouldn't be surprised if he gets a fine, but I don't think he should be suspended for that,
especially in the playoffs.
And you know what's kind of lost? You know what's kind of lost? Do you see how fast he made up that ground?
Oh, yeah.
To get to him. I mean, that was incredible. I'm sitting there watching him, and it's like he shot out of a cannon.
Also, tip of the cap to Matt Moore for even
for
thinking about wanting to get back in the game.
Yeah.
As soon as it happened, I thought he was dead. I was like, oh, he's done. That's it. And not only was he not done, but he like passed concussion protocol and got his ass back out there. So kudos to him. Yeah, he's a tough guy, good player, just overmatched, obviously.
Yeah, and the Steeler defense played really well. That's one of the ones that bit me. I only made three bets, but I lost two of them, and one of them was the over on the Steelers, which I was really heavy on. And the only one I got right was over on the Packers. And,
which you were really light on.
Yeah, but what I hated was it's just like and you know, you try to give opinions on all the games, and
your opinions weren't even there?
My opinions were all off. It's all dogs. I was saying, take the points make sense here. Nope, not so much.
Yeah,
it was Dupree, not Shazier, by the way.
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay.
A bunch of people.
My bad then.
Yeah.
Did the... Were you on the Dolphins?
Well, I just said I wouldn't give up 10 points. So if I were taking a side, I also said I wasn't playing it, but I took grief for it.
I only made two bets. I did a teaser with the Raiders and the under, and that obviously failed on both ends. So, you know, it didn't matter if one or the other failed. And then I took the Steelers minus 10. So I broke even for the week. But, yeah, no, I wasn't playing anything crazy this week anyway. Next week, I'm excited about those games.
Yeah, I'm actually excited from a football standpoint because we've got so many great matchups. And you know, I'm not even sure I'm interested in betting on them just because I want to watch those games. So 713-780-3776. And we'll break those down a little bit here in the 5 o'clock hour. And we got a little championship game tonight. I have to say, this might be the least I've ever been excited about a college football championship.
You're not stoked?
I'm really not. Maybe it's because we got the same teams. Maybe it's because I feel like Alabama's just going to house them, and it's not going to be a great game. This has felt all year. It's kind of how I felt last year about the NBA. It just felt like a foregone conclusion, so I didn't really enjoy the season as much. And after about week six, it sure looked like a foregone conclusion that Alabama was just going to roll everybody. And I'm not playing it because I'm still smarting from getting my butt whipped.
Right.
But Alabama minus 6.5. I mean, how many teams have been able to stay within 6.5 of these guys?
I think one.
Yeah. So I have a feeling Alabama's going to wipe the floor with them tonight. But maybe I'll be wrong. Maybe it'll be close. But I just – when I look at these matchups, and yeah, I do like Deshaun Watson. I like – that Clemson defense is a lot better than it gets credit for, but
it is.
I kind of felt like if Alabama was going to lose, it was going to be last week.
I love the people who say, "Where's Alabama going to get points from? Their offense isn't that good. Their offense has never been that good. This is, I mean,
They get points from everywhere. Their offense always does enough.
They're not sexy on offense, but that doesn't mean they're not good.
No, and they get points on special teams. They get points on defense.
They have offensive linemen that are going to be in the NFL. They've got receivers that are going to play in the NFL. They do fine on offense. Their defense is out of this world. That's where the problem comes in. And, you know, we saw the Texans. How many points did the Texans score? It wasn't because their offense was great. Their defense put them in great spots all day.
Yeah.
And if you're not a great offense, if your defense sets you up in the right spots, you score points. And that's what Alabama's done all year and really for the last several years.
What the hell is this thing with this guy's hand that they
I don't know. Dustin sent it like three times. It's kind of gross.
Yeah, Dustin, stop that.
Trying to eat.
Yeah, that's disgusting. That's not even – all right. Guys, want to welcome back Houston Cann Academy. And listen, the Blitzers, you guys have been great in donating your vehicles. And I can't thank you enough. They can't thank you enough. And if you haven't done it yet, you've got something that you're not using anymore. Maybe you got a new vehicle for Christmas. And you got that old one that you've been driving forever and you don't know what to do with it. Maybe you trade it in. Maybe you're going to sell it. Well, donate it. Because here's what's going to happen. And it doesn't matter where you are. If you're in Baytown, you could be over in Vinton, Louisiana. They'll come and tow that vehicle free of charge. They're going to process all the paperwork. Your donation is tax deductible. And check this out. If you donate today, they're going to give you a free $50 Visa gift card. Just their way of saying thank you. So you'll get rid of something you don't need anymore. And it doesn't matter what it is. Car, truck, motorcycle, four-wheeler, boat, RV. Doesn't matter if it's running. They'll come and get it. And you'll be getting rid of something you're not using anymore. You'll be getting the tax deduction. You get all this great stuff. And you're doing a great thing for Houston Cann Academies, where these kids are back in school now after the break. And these are kids who had dropped out of other schools. Well, they get a second chance with Houston Cann Academies. So many of them go on to do great things, and it would have never happened without your donations. So donate today. Give them a call, 713-225-4226, or go online to HoustonCarsForKids.com. Right off the car, not the kid.
This is ESPN 97.5.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from the Saltgrass Steakhouse in Pearland. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5, brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-3776 if you want to text the show. 281 says, donated my two company vehicles to Woodlands Courier Service. Great service. Quick pickup, timely tax deduction, and $50 Visa gift cards for the Houston Cann Academies. Thank you for doing that, and awesome. All right, so I didn't watch the Golden Globes last night, but what the hell was Meryl Streep talking about?
I didn't watch the whole thing either. My wife tuned me into it. I don't, like, for some reason, the Golden Globes just doesn't do anything for me. I don't care about
me
it.
Either.
And there's not any movies that I saw this year that I'm, like, beating the drum for.
Right.
So Meryl Streep, I guess, is giving an anti-Trump speech, which, okay, that's not surprising at all. But somewhere along the way in her speech, she decides to – she's talking about all the foreigners and how Donald Trump wants to get all the foreigners out. And she's talking about all the foreigners who really make Hollywood work. And – John, do you have the clip of her saying what she said about the NFL and you what?
I'm looking for it.
He's looking for it. Well, long story short, she says, if you get all the foreigners out of this country, all we're going to be left with is the NFL and mixed martial arts. And that's not really art at all. And my initial reaction was, A, That's so uneducated, first of all. MMA is probably, with the exception of soccer, the most diverse sport in the world. I mean, people from every country participate. It's in the UFC alone. I mean, I think there's people from like 40 something countries who fight in the UFC. I don't know. I don't know if she thinks that everybody who fights mixed martial arts is like a tap out t-shirt wearing hillbilly, but that's not the case. The NFL is 98% American citizens, or American-born players.
And a bunch of Australian punters.
Yeah, 68% African-Americans. I mean, I feel like she's like preaching to the wrong choir or for whatever reason. And I don't know if she was like trying to pick the two most violent sports to point out as like somehow they're the opposite of art. But anyone who's done martial arts and like dedicated their lives to it, that's not – it's not like this. It's not some brute game that she thinks it is, and that it kind of bothered me. And then I got to ranting about how everyone was looking forward to hearing Meryl Streep's commentary on the NFL and MMA tonight, which no one was. I just don't get where she was coming from with it, or I think it was uneducated and ignorant. I understand her greater point had little to do with it, but if you're going to throw it out there, you might want to fact check a little bit, and that way you don't rile people up.
See, I objected more to the second part with her saying it's not an art, and that, you know, that's not art. Well, two things on that. First off, I've never been a big Meryl Streep fan. She's one of those people everybody says she can act because she's not hot.
What's your favorite Meryl Streep movie?
Don't have one.
Me neither.
Yeah, I don't. Frankly, I think she's incredibly overrated as an actor. And I think that kind of elitist comment is ridiculous. So that your art is so high because you go and you make these bad movies that everybody praises you for, and your acting is crap, and you don't recognize that there is art in mixed martial arts. There's art in boxing. There's art in every sport. That's part of it. There's a skill level, and there's an artistry to it. And if you can't appreciate that, then you're just a snobby little bee, honestly.
I like how the movie Sausage Party is art, but someone who's a black belt in jiu-jitsu, that's not art. No,
there is fantastic artistry in watching, in fighting, and not just in fighting, but I think in a lot of sports, there's a creativity to it. That soccer is the same way, and all of them, that creativity is art.
Well, let's just say at the bones of it, movies and sports are there to accomplish the exact same thing. Same with music, same with painting, whatever the case. It's to make people happy.
Entertain them.
Yeah, it's not like, I don't know, it's not like movies are this super high on the list of, you know, I guess it's the fine arts. I don't know that movies are necessarily, like if you do play acting or you paint with watercolor, okay, maybe then you're more of an artist, but if you're in a movie or you make some songs, I mean, you're an entertainer.
Well, okay? I don't want to diminish the skills it takes to act, but I think because that'd be the same thing she's doing.
I'm not diminishing it. I'm just saying it's no different than being a great athlete. Like being a great actor and a great athlete, it's all you have to put in the same amount of work. I mean, it's.
I think to be a great athlete, you have to put in a lot more work.
Probably so.
And I also think that if you can't appreciate, and it's a different kind of artistry because it's artistry in the moment. You have to create on the fly. You can go in with a plan. You know,
there's no retakes.
No, you can go in with a plan, and that plan changes, and you're reacting to that. I'm sorry, but that's art, and that's creativity because that's what art is. And art takes on a lot of forms. There's an art to writing, you know. There's an art to sports, and. Yeah, that to me just smacks of elitist scumbag is what it strikes me as. Oh well, this is beneath me. It's low art. That's the kind of stuff that has always driven me nuts. Is these people who think that their art is somehow regal and everybody else's is garbage.
Yeah, I found that to be distasteful. It's, you know, not that Meryl Streep cares what I think, and I don't really care what Meryl Streep thinks. I just thought it was a petty thing for her to say, and really an ignorant take, because I don't think she knows what she's talking about.
No, she doesn't. And I'm.
But I'll tell you this. Ignorance when talking about mixed martial arts is running rampant, and not just with actresses, elderly actresses. The mainstream media talking about Ronda Rousey and Conor McGregor, it's almost gotten to me where I remember there was a time when I covered MMA when I used to say, man, I really wish the mainstream media would pick up on some of this and you know, help grow the sport. I almost think now I wish that no one would be allowed to talk about MMA unless they actually cover it, because guys like Shannon Sharp and Skip Bayless and Clay Travis, who probably couldn't name 10 MMA fighters if I said, you can't use Ronda Rousey and Conor McGregor, name 10 mixed martial artists, go. They'd look at each other, they have no idea what they're talking about. But if you look at their Twitter, you look at their shows, it seems to be a heavy topic of discussion with them, and I don't understand. It's like if suddenly I started commentating on college hockey, and I don't know anything about it, but I just have like these really hot takes on it, and people would be like, what the hell are you talking about? And I could just look at somebody's timeline and regurgitate their college hockey takes, and it might be wrong. I wouldn't care. I just go, oh, yeah, this is what's real. It's all over the media now that I guess now the UFC has gotten to the point where it gets more attention and it's getting some more coverage, which in a way is good. But, man, when people talk about it and don't know what they're saying, it's ridiculous. And like that Clay Travis, for instance, went from Ronda Rousey being the face of, like, this was like 2 years ago, the face of women's MMA and the most dominant female athlete in the world, to after she lost for the second time in her career, he said this was like Ronda Rousey was a fraud perpetrated by the UFC, like it was some sort of made up act that she was ever any good. It's, how can it be both those things? Either, and he said, well, I was duped. Okay, maybe you just didn't know what you were talking about, is what it boils down to. And to hear Skip Bayless talk about Conor McGregor smashing Floyd Mayweather and how Floyd Mayweather's scared of Conor McGregor, it's just so obnoxious to me, because that's not the kind of coverage that I want MMA to be getting. It really is embarrassing.
But you know what's happening here? This is the same as you being a fan of a band that suddenly becomes popular that they start playing on 104.
Need it.
I know, but
here's
the reality. Those guys have one job, and that's to make up takes and troll people and
well, they're trolling me.
Well, they are, and it's working, because they're there to create takes, and because the sport has become as popular as it has, they know that there's people that want to talk about it. So, you know, they're basically doing what they do. The thing is, it rarely comes up in horse racing, but during the Triple Crown, all those guys were doing the same thing when American Pharoah was running, and they didn't know what the hell they were talking about.
Right.
And so, hey, you know what? They're talking about it. So I think it's a good thing that they're talking about it. I think it's going to be frustrating for you, but
don't you find it obnoxious when they're talking and they don't know what they're talking about?
But isn't that all their shows? What does Clay Travis really know other than college football?
I don't know.
Not a damn thing, but he comments on everything.
He does.
So, yeah, I think.
That's right. Like when the World Cup is going on and people will call or ask, like sometimes we'll get questions like that. I just say, I have no idea. I don't pretend to know stuff that I don't pay attention to. So like the sports that I follow, the sports that I actually watch, which are the NFL, college football, the NBA, college basketball, Major League Baseball, and fighting. That's pretty much it. Boxing,
yeah.
Or MMA.
Yeah.
So if someone asks me a question about something other than those sports, I do one of two things. I send them to someone who I think would know, or I just say, I have no idea. Because I feel, and I'm not even like a responsible journalist. I'm just like a regular person.
Yeah.
Because if someone came up to me at the bar and asked off the record what I thought about, what do you think about the U.S.'s chances in the World Cup?
What do you think about their new manager?
In whatever year it's going to be. I don't even know when the next World Cup is. I would say, man, I really don't know. Or if someone said, who do you think's going to win the NASCAR Cup this year? Man, I really have no idea, because I don't watch NASCAR. It seems so easy to say that. Yet these guys, I guess maybe they take themselves so seriously that they have to pretend like they know a little bit about everything.
Yeah.
But to me, I find that very obnoxious and very unbecoming. If I'm looking for a sports host to listen to, because I feel like you want to.
See, that's the problem with that is, and you're right. I mean, you're asking people to think. So, you know what? If I want to hear soccer, I'm going to go listen to Glenn Davis. That's why when there's big soccer stuff going on, we have Glenn in. to get it. And yeah, I try to keep up with it enough to know what questions to ask. But I ask Glenn. I get my information from him, my friend Soccer Dwayne, people like that that cover it and know it. That's who I go to. And if something big's going on, that's why we have him on. And I think it's the same thing. It's listen, man, you're one of the foremost MMA guys in the country. It's where do you think who do you think I ask a question to if I have an MMA question?
Skip Bayless.
Exactly.
Well, clearly.
But people don't, you know, people see what these guys have been thrown on TV to be, which is, you know, provocative, fake take guys, and it's going to be on every sport. 281 says, I don't think the point of Streep's speech had anything to do with MMA. Then why the hell did you?
Maybe it doesn't. Then leave it out.
Yeah.
Then leave it out. Don't throw some random barb out there and not be held responsible for it, not be held accountable for it.
Yeah.
She said that if you throw all the foreigners out of Hollywood or out of the country, you're only going to be left with MMA, which is arguably the most diverse sport in the world. That's a stupid saying. That's a stupid thing to say in your big moment speech. It was stupid. So just own the fact that it was stupid.
All right. We need to take a break. What do we got here?
Raising Cane's, a new sponsor on our program, Fred. And I'm glad to be endorsing these guys because I really like their chicken. And this chicken is amazing. It is a it's never frozen. This is the best stuff, the best tenderloin that you can get, the highest quality ingredients. And it's marinated for 24 hours, hand-battered, and cooked to order. They do tailgating. It's perfect for any event from 25 to 100 fingers or more if you need. And it's ready several minutes after you order. No need to call ahead. They've got you covered. And the sauce, guys, the sauce, oh, the sauce. It's so good. Raising Cane's is really a great place. They believe in serving you good food. They come through with it. They come through with the good food. It started in Baton Rouge. It's made its way here to Houston, and it's all over the city. If you haven't checked it out before, you need to go check it out. And right now, you can win $100,000 when you play Peel the Love. It's brought to you by Raising Cane's. You collect the letters to spell Cane's, and you'll win $100,000 when you play that Peel the Love game. So go check it out. And check out Raising Cane's. If you haven't tried them before, it's a perfect time to get on it. That's Raising Cane's all around Houston.
Here, Alabama, Clemson, college football's national championship game, 7 p.m. Monday on ESPN 97.5 and our sister station, SB Nation 1560.
Is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from the Saltgrass Steakhouse in Pearland, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back. Come celebrate the big Texas party with ESPN 97.5, SB Nation 1560, and Culture Map. It's happening Thursday, February 2nd at the Silver Street Studios. We'll have big-time athletes, celebrities, all you can eat and drink, refreshing beer, succulent barbecue, and smooth bourbon. You can now buy your tickets at thebigtexasparty.com. You can get your tickets for $125. Get ready to celebrate the big game with Gal Media at the Big Texas Party. This is a great deal, $125. All you can eat and drink, and the barbecue is succulent. You can't miss that.
A couple things on what we were just talking about. Lamont says, you say that, AJ, but I see the same stuff locally with college basketball. Everyone becomes experts in March. That's true to an extent. And that's the other thing. It's frustrating because I feel like when people this is at least the way I am. I assume you're the same way. When you say something, you want to be associated with your opinions. And you don't want to be the guy who never knows what the hell he's talking about. You know what I mean?
Right.
I know I don't. If I didn't know what I was talking about, I would just keep my mouth shut because I'd rather be the guy who just admits that I don't know something about it than to say something stupid or wrong. I guess you just want your audience to trust you is what it boils down to. And trust you to – I mean, your audience isn't always going to agree with you.
And that's okay.
I know that as well as anyone. They're not. But you at least want to stand by what you say to the point where your audience trusts that, like, what you say, you mean. And I think that's a problem with radio. It's a problem with media. It's a problem in general.
But that's unfortunately that's not what gets ratings now. It's First Take. I mean, the world wants everybody to be First Take, and wants to be Twitter. And you know that's the thing. I just I really wish people would be more. I don't want to say deliberate, but when you react to something instantly, it's not well thought out. And yeah, I like to know as much about a thing before I go off on it. That's all. So
William says, sounds like radio guys talking golf when Tiger was big. Oh, that happened all the time. And I would watch when Tiger would play. I wouldn't watch any other golfers. I didn't care. But like, if it was a Sunday and Tiger was in the hunt for a major, I would watch. I didn't watch any tournaments that weren't major tournaments. It's all I watched as far as golf. And if let's for whatever Tiger was out, he was seven strokes back on Sunday morning, I probably wasn't watching. And then if someone said, hey, Tiger's coming up, I'd watch. But I still didn't go on the radio and try to act like I knew about golf because I don't. I don't know anything about golf. You know, so it'd be foolish of me to go on and pretend like I did. I'll never understand why people do that. I get your point that that's the ratings game that gets played now, which is also another reason why when people say, like people accuse me of trying to say things to be like a Skip Bayless and just to get attention, it drives me crazy because if I say something on this air, I stand by it. I mean it. Like that's what I believe in my head because it's way easier to do that than make up some ridiculous stance or lie and then try to remember it later on. If you just say what you mean, say what you believe, it's pretty easy to keep up with, you know?
Yeah, and there are times where we're going to have opinions on things that we don't follow as closely, but that's where I, you know, I go out of my way. Like if I want to know something about golf, I'm going to ask Granato. You know, if I have an opinion on a quarterback, I'm going to go bounce it off Salisbury. That's just natural, and if you want to know what you're talking about, there's certain things, yeah, I know a lot about. Others, I'm going to go to the person who knows more about it and see if my opinions make any sense most of the time. Sometimes, though, in this job, you have to react to something right away, like, oh, Doug Marrone just got hired, that kind of stuff.
Joe Titan says he tweeted at Clay Travis to let him know. These two, AJ is the real and Fred Fowler, talking bleep about you on Houston radio, said you don't know MMA or any sport except NCAA football. Thanks for tattling on us, Joe. I'm really scared of Clay Travis. Like he's going to come down on me real hard now.
Ooh, yeah.
You're the hero now for coming to his rescue.
Yeah, I.
You should tweet Shannon Sharp the same thing and Skip Bayless.
Yeah, make
sure.
I'm sure
they care.
Well, I won't see it because that's another thing I've added to my block list is anybody who does stuff like that, which I think is 5-year-old childish crap, I block you. So,
and I stand by it. Clay Travis doesn't know a damn thing about fighting. I promise you. I promise you. He knows what he reads about fighting. It's the same as Skip, same as Shannon Sharp. These guys don't know.
But you know what? They made nice careers out of it, so good for them.
Good for them.
It's not for me. A through two says, hey, Fred, my wife and I went to Bedrock City yesterday for a poster and couldn't find any. Could they be out of stock?
I think they are out.
Yeah, I think they are. I
didn't even get one.
I will check with them and see about getting some more done. But right now, I have to tell you about Blue Apron. And I know they're not out of stock because, guys, if you haven't tried Blue Apron yet, you're going to get a great meal. You're going to get it at an affordable price. You're going to get something that you can put together in less than 40 minutes. It's less than $10 per person per meal. And they'll deliver seasonal recipes along with pre-portioned ingredients to make delicious home-cooked meals. Choose from a variety of new recipes each week, or you let them pick for you. And some of these recipes are so awesome, the wife just keeps them, and we use them again and again. And each meal comes with a step-by-step, easy-to-follow recipe card and pre-portioned ingredients.
Yeah, my wife does the same thing with the recipe cards. You can get a lot of good ideas and a lot of good food from these guys at Blue Apron. It's easy. They all come with these step-by-step recipe cards, pre-portioned ingredients, and they take 40 minutes or less to cook. They're always great. They're always healthy. They're always it's flexible. So if there's something you see coming in this week, you don't want that, no problem. You can change it. They'll send you something you want. Check out this week's menu and get your first three meals, for free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/blitz. That's your first three meals for free with free shipping. Just by going to blueapron.com/blitz, you're going to love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron, so don't wait. That's blueapron.com/blitz. Blue Apron, a better way to cook.
ESPN 97.5.